morning. I'd like to add my thanks to Holly for asking me to participate in this panel. Working with Holly on a variety of projects over the years has been a true pleasure, and I've come to the conclusion that team science really is defined by her work and her pioneering efforts in this regard. And so, as a consequence, I think we can all benefit from her wisdom and expertise in this area. And so I think this particular conference is a real testament to that particular effort on her part. I know most of you are in the biomedical field, but I'm going to talk a little bit about something that's a bit orthogonal to that. In other words, I'm going to talk about opportunities that have arisen in the energy field, which is largely driven by the physical sciences. And so this is different and not so different at the same time, in the sense that some years ago, I would say about 7 or 8 years ago, the Department of Energy and many other agencies apart from the NIH decided that the notion of team science was an important potential avenue for promoting new directions within their particular fields. And specifically in the Department of Energy, they initiated a series of workshops that many of us were asked to organize, which were designed specifically to identify new basic science directions in a variety of fields. And this workshop exercise resulted in a lot of positive movement. And the person at the DOE who is responsible largely for this particular effort is Pat Damer, who is still near the tops of the administrative ladder in the basic energy sciences segment of DOE. And to Pat's credit, she really pushed this forward in ways that were not possible in the past. And as a consequence, DOE has taken itself essentially from a national lab-centric large project facilities operation and complementary to that a single investigator university operation to one in which team science is really being strongly emphasized. So what I would like to do is offer you some of our experiences in the recent years in working with DOE to bring team science home, so to speak. So the first thing I want to discuss is our current research center, which was funded about a year and a half ago, the so-called Argonne Northwestern Solar Energy Research Center, as a kind of test case or model for how we approach this problem. First of all, obviously, you need to ask the agency what they want or identify what they want, right? I mean, it's pretty obvious. But as I mentioned, the central theme here was one in which what they wanted really came from these workshops. And there were a series of 10 workshops that were very well attended. And in fact, they were so well attended that about 25% of the participants, they typically were on the order of 200 participants, with as much as 25 or 30% of those participants coming from abroad who had no possibility of being necessarily funded by the DOE but wanted to participate in the exercise anyway. So this brought essentially the world community of experts in a particular area together in order to essentially, in a very coordinated and orchestrated way, determine what were the important issues within a field. And so this particular workshop exercise proved to be very valuable in setting the pace for what we wanted to do ultimately. So what DOE ultimately wanted to do after these workshops was to convince the Congress that money needed to be put into these larger enterprises to attack these problems on a level that had not been done so before, and to do it in a team science context. So what they really were looking, oops, sorry about that. What they were really looking for was a synergistic team organized around these scientific themes that were part of the workshop structure. And so the important thing for us to do was to identify individuals in that context. And to some degree, it became an exercise of looking at the scope of people who were involved in the workshop process as well, and using that as a core of individuals that one could draw upon in terms of expertise. That having been said, the other part of the equation really is taking advantage of institutional strengths. As is typically the case, one institution is the lead, but we draw from other institutions as the expertise is required, and did so in a way that didn't dilute the effort so that we were simply looking for geographic or demographic distribution within the country. What we were actually looking for was specific expertise, and that's really quite important, to identify key individuals who are going to push the project forward. And we wanted to take advantage not only of university strengths, but also national labs, because, of course, the DOE has 8 national laboratories of considerable size that are devoted to energy sciences around the country. And so taking advantage of these labs with their marvelous user facilities was very important. In our particular case, the Argonne National Laboratory is simply 35 miles southwest of where we are right now, and constitutes a major set of facilities with regard to structural work with the advanced photon source and a variety of other resources that are available. And building those relationships is important as well. The other thing that the DOE wanted, which is really completely different from anything else that we've experienced in the past, is they wanted the centers to be, as they put it, actively managed. Now, what does that mean? They wanted them to be responsive, and the people who were designated to manage these centers, they gave us the responsibility and the authority to make changes quickly without going through many levels of administration to ask permission. So that if we saw an opportunity that would push the research forward, we could redirect resources rapidly and to address those issues in a meaningful way. So how did we do this? Well, obviously, we spoke to the challenges that were part of these original documents, and so the community consensus was adhered to. We mixed well-established investigators, as I mentioned, who perhaps participated in these workshop exercises, with new young investigators who would bring a fresh perspective to the field, which is always very important. But we also tried to make real connections between the research subteams that were involved. In other words, the synergies and the connections between the research subteams is very important. In other words, we don't have isolated teams, subteams of people in small pigeonholes. The product of one subteam is critical and important to the success of another subteam. So those relationships are very important. Also, we developed what we would call a rapid response management plan, where without going through a lot of bureaucracy, we could make changes very quickly and be responsive to the scientific needs. So what did we end up with? Well, we ended up with the Answer Center being 24 PIs over 5 institutions, $19 million for 5 years approximately. And there, with all of these centers, there's substantial cost share contributions that come along with them as well, and so this number is a good bit higher in practice, thanks to the participating institutions. The vision of this particular center is pretty straightforward and adheres to the guidelines that we had established through the workshop process. Basically, the vision is first to convert solar photons into fuels and electricity, something that the world needs in great amounts in the next 50 to 100 years. Energy needs will double in the next 30 years and triple by the year 2100. And that's if we conserve along the way. So it could even be worse than that. In order to do this, we need to find a new understanding of the mechanisms of how these things work. In other words, the fundamental science is not there yet in order to make the technology successful. And in order to do this, we need to take advantage of molecules and materials and methodologies that are critical to this, and also taking advantage of the tremendous investment in nanoscience and nanotechnology that has been already made by the federal government in the scientific enterprise. So we organized 3 sub-teams of people around these scientific challenges, and of course, the teams had their own set of experts, approximately 8 individuals in each team. But there are a lot of, as I mentioned, cross crosstalk between the teams. And I would strongly emphasize in any team science, one has to organize it in a particular parsed structure, but the importance is to have these interconnections between the teams as well. So where do we go from here? Well, it turns out that DOE is really very much in this mode now, and Steve Chu, the Secretary of Energy, who comes originally from Bell Labs via Stanford and in Berkeley, has this vision. And his vision is one in which one does team science in a manner that Bell Labs in its heyday had done. And that is to take basic science from its most fundamental concepts through commercialization all in under one roof. And he proposed about a year ago that we do this in the energy field in a variety of what he calls energy innovation hubs. And these energy innovation hubs are designed to be mini Bell Labs operations. And so he originally proposed to the Congress that the Congress fund 8 of these operations nationwide. This year, the Congress has decided to fund 3 of them, with a 4th being funded as a startup during the next federal fiscal year. And as a consequence, we need to play the same game. We need to identify what the DOE really wanted with these energy innovation hubs. And there were lots of new problems that arose in this context. And the new problems that arose had to do with the fact that these were not just basic science enterprises. They had a strong translational element to them. In other words, we had to go from basic, a set of basic science that wasn't even in place yet in some of these fields in order to get to what would be called a pre-commercialization stage of technology, which is a very, very tall order in order to do. And what this really requires is everything that the Energy Frontier Research Center is involved, but in addition, it has a significant role for engineers who have to develop technology from basic science in a rapid turnaround. These engineers have to be very good systems integrators in order to be able to pull this off on a short time scale. And we need significant input, and this is really a first for DOE, from the economics and public policy community, because number one, we need to propose solutions that are near term enough to be economically viable. And number two, whatever technological solutions we propose have to be publicly acceptable. In other words, there's a public acceptance feature here that's really critical, because you can have the world's greatest technology, but if the man in the street, so to speak, does not like it and won't use it, there's no point to it. And so as a consequence, public acceptance is a key feature here. And so the other feature that DOE wanted, which was unique to this opportunity, is that because it was going to function as an all-in-one opportunity, it had to be in one physical location. Now, the DOE was really quite fuzzy on this initially. And as a consequence, what they did require is the proposers had to propose a central facility where the translational aspects of the research would be carried out and the integration of the systems would be done. So effectively, you need to provide them with a building. You either have to rent it, buy it, or lease it or something of that nature. The only thing you can't do is build it. Okay, so you can't devote any resources into actually building a building. And so that's a significant constraint. Another thing we needed to do is, unlike the basic science centers, we needed to have significant participation by industry. And as we all know, with the current economic climate, that's not such an easy task these days, to convince industry to contribute in any shape or form that is going to have an economic impact on their immediate bottom line. And as a consequence, this is a very difficult thing to do these days. Not only that, is we had to develop a intellectual property management plan that was highly flexible and would speak to the notion that one needed to be able to have industry interact, multiple industries interact in multiple connections with multiple teams of people in order that intellectual property would flow appropriately to the organizations that could best utilize it without any conflicts. And so this also brings in the law as well. And so a significant component of this is bringing in law. Also, they also wanted, in this case, the active management, fast on your feet sort of operation. So this is even a taller order than the other. And how did we approach this? Well, it turns out, as I mentioned to a couple of people already, I'm kind of in recovery mode. We just finished submitting this proposal on March 29th after a very short timeline. We had essentially only 3 months to put this together. But turns out that, as I mentioned before, the key challenge is finding a way to translate basic science into pre-commercialization technologies. And here's where our engineers really stepped up to the plate, and we were able to build a team of engineering science at multiple institutions who were capable of doing this. We needed to organize teams around not only the technological challenges, but around the engineering, the economics, the public policy. So the number of teams and the number of foci of the organization increased tremendously in this particular case. And we had to secure a building. And it turns out that we were particularly fortunate that the Argonne National Laboratory, who's a major partner in this consortium, just happened to have a late model building that had just been vacated and has offered us the building if we get this, which is a very nice building, actually, and can be renovated for a mere few million dollars. Engaging the engineers for system integration was also incredibly important in this case, because what we really need to do is take a very underdeveloped scientific enterprise and then push it into a prototype device technology stage very rapidly, and that's hard to do. And once again, I mentioned the management aspects, and I won't really dwell on those. So what did we do, and what's the scope here, and what's the vision? Well, it turns out we ended up with what we call the Solar Fuels Institute of America, which involves 90 PIs over 10 institutions. It's mostly Illinois-centric. 80% of these people are between Northwestern, the Argonne National Laboratory, University of Chicago, and the University of Illinois at Urbana. The rest are at key institutions around the country. But the opportunity is for $122 million for 5 years with, once again, a considerable portfolio of cost share involved, which boosts that number up considerably. But the vision is simple but daunting at the same time. We need a near-term vision and a slightly less near-term vision. The near-term vision has to put something out on the street within the next few years, by a few years meaning 3 to 5 years. And that is, the vision is to take existing photovoltaics, really the best that are available today with the best technologies that are being developed, and to couple those with electrocatalytic technology that is going to take carbon dioxide from power plants and reduce it back to burnable hydrocarbon fuels and close the cycle, as it were, so that you need to be able to then have the power source and the catalytic source at two different physical locations. And that will allow us to do this fairly quickly. The catalytic part is hard, but the bottom line is really very, very well suited to the near term, because everyone speaks of hydrogen as the fuel of the future, which is most likely the case. But we have the infrastructure today to do hydrocarbon fuels. And so the best thing to do is to take the CO2 product, which is perhaps a problem with regard to climate change these days, and to take that away from the power plants and reconvert it back into fuel. And so you have a carbon neutral source of energy. But the future is more intriguing. The future is more intriguing because, imagine, if you will, one's mental picture of a solar cell, as we've all seen solar panel pictures, but instead of electricity coming out the backside, you have a little tube that comes into a reservoir in your garage, and you're generating liquid fuel that you can use in your automobile, that you can use to heat your home, and this panel is completely portable and can be used anywhere. So that is a very tall scientific and technological order problem, and so that is what we're aiming for in the intermediate term. So that's the vision. Let me just finish by talking a little bit about nuts and bolts, and when we open it up for questions, we'll get back to nuts and bolts. Some of the stuff is really, really obvious, but because it's so obvious, sometimes if you don't pay attention to it, it comes back and haunts you during the proposal process. And let's just kind of go through the list, and we can ask questions about it at the question period. It's really important to understand your sponsor and to keep engaging your sponsor to make absolutely certain you understand what they're asking for. Some sponsors are better than others in terms of being forthcoming with this information, but this engagement is incredibly important. Be organized in the sense that you need a timetable for the proposal development, and you need to get everyone to adhere to it. I know with academic researchers, it's always like the old phrase, herding cats, in order to get everybody to get on board with something. But anticipate deadlines and, you know, be the bad guy, basically. Somebody has to be the bad guy in all of this. You need to engage your sponsored program's leadership on day one of the process. That is incredibly important because your sponsored program's people are the people who will make it happen for you. And if they're engaged right at day one, then everything flows beautifully. If you let them, keep them in the dark until the process is well along the line, then bad things happen, and one can only imagine what those are. It's important to identify leadership within your portfolio of team science. In other words, you need to designate a small group of leadership individuals who are going to carry the ball. This can be organized around individual technical challenges. It can be organized in other ways, but this leadership team is going to help you herd the cats, as it were. And so consequently, it's incredibly important to have a structure that has a cadre of leaders you can depend on. It's important to meet early so all the expectations are defined and the consensus from the participants is established. In some institutions, this is easier than others. At Northwestern, we've had a long culture of doing this sort of thing, and as a consequence, getting buy-in from faculty has been usually a very pleasant exercise. You need to work with your team leaders to identify where the synergies are between the teams as well. As I mentioned, these in-between synergies, or these synergies between teams, I should say, are really critical to having a credible proposal that is going to take advantage of the teaming nature of the scientific enterprise that you're proposing. Last but not least, here's a few more points. Basically, you need to make sure that all of your support staff are engaged in the proposal process and know exactly what their duties are and what their expectations are as well. At Northwestern, as Holly mentioned, we have a wonderful group of people who are engaged in this activity and help us out in this regard. And it's important that you, as individuals, communicate with people in those positions in order to be able to make sure that information flows well and expectations are met as well, because that communication aspect is really critical in the successful process. If you're going to work with industry, you need to engage them on day one, especially in this climate, because partnering with industry frequently requires what I would call a lengthy courtship. And what you frequently end up doing is talking with a group of technical experts, and then you sort of work your way up the food chain in the management structure of industry until you get to decision makers. And this may require numerous conference calls over a period of time. And so I can't emphasize enough how important it is to really start this process as early as possible in the entire game. And frequently, industry will not make a decision until 3 days before the proposal is due. And so this will drive you a little crazy, but that's okay. Same thing with your external advisory board. Most of these opportunities require that you have a group of external experts who are not necessarily tied to the enterprise to help advise you. What's really important in that is to engage the potential candidates early, but also let them know what you expect from them, because frequently these are people both from academic pursuits, policy, and industry that have a lot of demands on their time. And so it's really important to spell out quite explicitly why you want them to participate in your effort. And the last point I want to make is that it's important to have team members that are a little more disconnected, if you will, from the main organizational aspect. Keep checking back with regard to the requirements and the way that the process is being organized and the documents are being organized, because even in the best organizations I've seen, you can actually have things fall through the cracks until the last moment and have sort of panic attacks at the last juncture here. And so to avoid that, it's best to have people continually checking who may not have checked before. And so a new set of eyes on the problem is really, really important. So those are some of the little bits of information that we've gathered in this process, both in the successful process that has transpired and in the most recent proposal process, which has taken us to a new level of complexity. So I'll be happy to answer any questions regarding this in the question period. And so once again, I'll end by thanking Holly for organizing this meeting and for all of her help along the years in making Team Science at Northwestern really what it should be. Thank you.